She bowed her head and went where they took her. In the Deathlands, survival wasn't optional. The time to go down fighting had passed. There was no fool like a dead one, as Trader used to say. The ones chosen were fit-looking men and women without children, a few teenaged boys and girls, 22 or 3 in all. Many still stood shivering despite the warmth of the sun, waiting with their hands on their heads. As the implication of their being left unselected sank in, they began to cry and plead, despite the example made of their trail boss.
Take me! Take me! I'll make it worth your while!
Then again, it now made little difference, and they knew it. A stout figure, whose repetitively chinned face was flanked by great, winging gray side whiskers, stepped forward from the ranks of those not chosen. Sweat poured down in streams from the brim of his battered leather top hat. This was Elliot, called His Honor, by himself anyway, self-proclaimed mayor of the Traveler's settlement-to-be. As to what his precise contribution was to the welfare of the train to justify his claims of leadership, his two knuckle-dragging bodyguards, Amos and Bob, discouraged the others from asking impertinent questions.
Now, wait just a minute here, boys. Let's not be too hasty here. Happens I'm the leader of this here little procession across the wasteland.
Triple stoop. Ain't figured out what he was, don't mean shit to a tree now.
With surprising agility, Elliot rolled to his knees, clasped his hands prayerfully, and commenced to plead.
No, you can't do this. I can help you, Baron. I'm a man who understands the way of the world.
The raiders wordlessly began to line up behind the weeping, imploring rejects. Elliot reached back and grabbed a 9-year-old girl, dragging her forward. She was clad in a torn smock that was all over stains and shades of yellow and brown.
Oh, take my little girl. Do with her what you will. She'll please you upright and trained her proper myself.
They're gonna take what they want anyway, Elliot, you damn fool. They got the blasters. Now stop your sniveling and die like a man.
Wait, Amos! Bob, help me! You gotta... No!
Back in line, asshole! Make this messy for us, we shoot you in the belly and just leave you.
Elliot's two heavyweight henchmen evaded his eyes as they took their places in the wags.
"'Twas Brillig and the slithy toves."
Doc's eyes, aged beyond his years, as much by the horrors of being snatched from his family and hurled through time, as by the desperate sights they had witnessed in the Deathlands, had lost all hint of focus. The commanding Coldheart halted with one boot up in the cab of his wag. His men had already secured the Traveler's wags and begun firing up their engines. He turned his head and stared at Doc.
What did you say?
All mimsy with the borogroves.
And the Mome Wrath's outgrabe. You know something of the classics then, old man. Can you read?
Read, yes. Read, breed. If you prick me, do I not bleed?
Nuke sucking hold, he's mad as fire day. Do him with the others.
No, Sergeant Banner. The general will want this one.
Oh, it's strong hands and backs we need to fix the track.
The sec chief tossed him a single look. His eyes were pale brown and as clear as new glass.
Yes, Captain Helton, sir.
Benner seized Doc's arm and yanked him out of line.
Come on, you crazy old shit. General's got his little hobbies.
For a moment, no one breathed. The Coldhearts were clearly not used to anything but instant obedience to their commands, nor slow to let their blasters enforce them. Surely if Doc continued raving, the youthful captain would lose patience and allow Banner to ice him with the others who'd been deemed useless. But since it no longer required the shelter of lunacy from the imminence of certain death, Doc's rational mind reasserted itself. He lowered his hands, Banner's finger never so much as twitched on the trigger, and shot his frayed cuffs.
Lead on, my good fellow.
You crazy son of a bitch.
As the old man was dragged toward the wags, Christy felt tension flow out of her muscles. The future was a void a million times greater than all the big ditch and then some. But on some level, below thought, she wouldn't watch another of her companions die before her eyes, even if it meant her own death. Of course, her future was empty without Ryan, but she had duties as a friend, as mate to the companion's fallen leader. She couldn't allow herself to die, yet. The children wailed and sobbed and clutched their mother's skirts. The mothers, Deathlands women, tousled their children's hair, bit back their own tears, and murmured reassurances they knew were lies. One little girl was trying to break from the line, screaming and crying and tugging at her mother's hand. The Sec Chief frowned. He followed the direction her free hand was stretching in. He walked to where the small rag rabbit, or mutie, lay at the bash of a clump of salt bush, picked it up, brought it to the little girl, knelt, and handed it gravely to her. She took it, suddenly quiet, her grimy cheeks scoured by her tears. He smoothed the dark hair on her head, stood, pivoted on his heel, and walked back to his wag. As he passed Banner, he nodded once.
All right, people, let's do these bastards.
The wag's machine gun snarled. The bullets raked the line of rejects carefully between 2 and 3 feet off the ground to take adults in legs or bellies and kids in heads and chests, anchoring all neatly in place. Most screaming and thrashing in agony, a fortunate few lifeless limp. The unarmed travelers went down in the dust. The firing stopped. Arcs of flying brass empties flashed in the sunlight to fall with an almost musical tinkle to the hardpan. The moaning of the wind was joined by the shrieks of the injured.
Come on, bastards! You can do better than that!
Again, the machine guns ripped the bodies, those that stirred and those that didn't. It seemed the marauders had bullets to burn. Finally, the sergeant walked along the line of now motionless travelers, firing a handful of single shots from his long blaster. Then he turned and joined his comrades in the wags. One of the raiders, who had come in the stake bed truck that now contained the caravan survivors, took a frag wrench from his web gear, pulled the pin, and let the safety lever fly free. Then he tossed the bomb under the broken-down wag that had caused the caravan to halt. He turned and walked away without waiting to watch the result. The sec man joined his comrades, who were crammed into the two travelers' wags they had emptied. The convoy rolled off along the bare earth track to the west, raising rooster tails of khaki dust. The derelict wag's gasoline tank, ruptured by the blast, caught fire. A billow of yellow flame shot into the air. The vehicle began to burn ferociously, puking black smoke into a sky that was already beginning to mask its clean blue face with clouds. Christy emerged from her hiding place. Her joints ached. Red ants had crawled up her legs inside her jumpsuit and bitten her shin and thigh. Their venom made the tiny wounds pang like stabs. She ignored all. She walked with the deliberation of a drunk to the edge of the precipice, where Ryan had stood, where last she had seen her lover. Her beautiful high cheekbone face was set like stone. She looked down, half fearing what she would see. There was nothing.
Damn you, Ryan.
The slope angled sharply down for perhaps 40 yards, pitched over a cluster of granite boulders, which resisted erosion better than the prevalent sandstone, and straight down in a sheer fall to the floor a mile below. Ryan's body wasn't in sight. Presumably, it was way down at the bottom, hidden by sheer height. She turned away, looking over the bodies of their former traveling companions, Curtis, Elaine, Natty, and the rest. The little girl Sally lay face down, with her toy inches from her outflung fingers, its grime glistening with her blood. Moving as if through water, Christy picked through the items the Coldhearts had so contemptuously pitched into heaps on the ground. She needed what supplies she could carry, food, water, meds, even something extra for barter. She wouldn't just lie down and die. She would follow the man who had murdered Ryan and the travelers and kidnapped her friends. She would kill them all and free her friends. Of course, she was but one woman, alone in the wasteland, afoot in pursuit of wags. And all the supplies she could lift, as strong as she was, would be quickly exhausted in this waste, particularly water.
Fuck it.
She would follow her vengeance trail to the end, whatever it would take. She set out along the track the wags had taken. She had no hope, but hate was enough.